close enough. I'd like to call the meeting to order. The meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the chair and state your name and residence. I'd like to move towards the roll call.
Mike.
Fred.
Don. And Jerry.
Bethany Soderlund.
Jessica Stanovich.
Moving on to additions and deletions to the agenda.
No.
Nothing. Okay. I need a motion to open up the public hearings.
I'll make a motion that we open up to public hearings.
Okay. All in favor?
We need a second.
Aye.
We'll need a second on that motion.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Bethany?
Thank you so much, Chair, Planning Commission. Conditional use application 1525 for the installation of solar energy system on an existing commercial and public structure. Subject property is located at 40447 Town Hall Road. Might be familiar because that's where we are right now. PID 22250516, applicant and owner is the City of 50 Lakes. The city is seeking a conditional use permit for the installation and placement of a renewable energy system on an existing structure. These panels will be flush mounted on the structure. The panels will sit a few inches above the shingles and will not substantially impact the height of the structure. Renewable energy systems aren't allowed use with a CUP. If you have any questions concerning the application or funding for this, Gary is here. He'd be better posed to answer those questions than I would be. And I do know that in your packet tonight, there are a few things that are missing that we'd normally see in an application. That's because they were waived. If the city doesn't get funding, I don't want the city on the hook for the bill for the engineer and the bill for the compliance inspection. Should we get the funding for this, that will go. And we'll have the engineer look at it and we'll have the compliance inspection done.
No discussion.
I just have a question. Mm-hmm. We've had some of these come across our desk here, and at one point we said, should we really require a conditional use permit? This is a pretty good project. Isn't it something you could just approve?
We would need to amend the ordinance, but you know, at that time we had a couple, right? And we talked about it. Well, just to let you know, we have another one next month. So this might be something that we do over the course of the winter, want to take a look at and amend the ordinance. Effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you can still write, you know, performance standards. So it's not like you can just, you know, you can still specify that these need to be this, this, and this, and this. Or maybe you approve, you know, administratively approve with just a regular permit, roof mounted, and then maybe still require that CUP for the ground. There might be reasons, and we can take a look at that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you. Well, you do have conditions, and so you would still continue to do that, I'm assuming?
Yes, on this application there are conditions.
No, but if we were to put it in the ordinance, you would still write those up.
Oh, of course, yeah. And they'd have to meet those performance standards. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
No, I'm good.
Do we need a motion to approve?
Yes.
I make a motion to approve conditional use permit 15-25 with 14 findings of fact and one condition.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to 1625, Bethany.
Yes, variance application 1625 for the construction of an addition and an existing dwelling not meeting OHW setbacks. Subject property is located at 43327 County Road 136, PID 22120553. The applicant and the owner, they are here this evening, Daniel and Melinda Hogan. If you'd like to take a look at your packet, there's a lot of information in there, but the applicant is requesting a variance to construct a 32 by 42 addition to their existing structure. When they applied for the variance to construct this proposed addition, it was discovered that the assumed 75-foot setback was incorrect, and the setback for the tributary stream, Crooked Creek, is actually 100 feet. The dwelling built in 2018 does not meet those OHW setbacks either. And so therefore, this variance request includes the request of 75 feet where 100 is required to bring the existing dwelling into compliance. The proposed addition increases the number of bedrooms to 4 and the impervious from 17.4 to 22.3. The proposed height meets the 25 feet to mid-peak threshold. So there'll be two variance requests tonight. One is just to bring the property into compliance. That was a city error, and that was surveyor error, and that was just an error. I think everybody looked at that permit. The applicants applied in good faith for their home. It was approved, but because we did discover that that tributary stream setback is 100 feet, I want to make sure that that gets put in with this request as well so we can bring their property into compliance. And then the second portion would be for that addition. If anybody has any questions about that, there are three conditions. The standard condition that it needs to be in conformance with the proposed plan, but then there are two other conditions. One is for shoreline buffer and stormwater management plan. I do have to say, if you've been out on the property, they have a lovely shoreline buffer in existence already, so that would need to stay there. And then the other is for a compliance inspection, just verifying compliance, and then the sizing of the system to accommodate the increase in bedrooms. I put it as a condition. It's required anyway, but I did add that as a condition.
So do we take a vote on each one independently?
Well, if you have any questions or if the audience has any questions, if they want to speak, we can take time for that. You want to have discussion. Other than that, you guys know during the variance we do need to go through those questions one by one. You can lump the requests together, you can handle them separately. It's up to you.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So I've been out on the property and it mm-hmm. looks like it's going to be a very nice addition. Beautiful. But so maybe you described this, but I'm a little unclear. So when you had the architect put this all together, with it being 53 feet from the from Daggett Crook, or is it called Crooked?
Crooked.
Crooked. Did you know the setback was 75 or 100 feet?
75. And when I first started trying to map it out, is when I thought I had room even at 75, but as it came out, I was slightly over that too, so we're going to have to apply for a variance anyway. And in talking with Mark Bradley, who's our dirt guy, he was saying that he thought it was at 100 feet for the creek, and I said, oh. So he had contacted Bethany and found out that that's the way it was. So we had to apply for a variance anyway.
But so you thought there was at 75 for the creek, but yet the building goes to 53 feet from the creek.
The existing building and the one we want to build?
The one you want.
The one I want to build, yep. So it's 53 feet.
Yep. So this whole thing started with they wanted to build an addition. It wasn't going to meet that 75-foot setback that they thought that they needed to meet. So that was what the initial variance request was for, was for 53 feet where 75 is required. Then it was discovered that, no, indeed, it's 100. But the variance request stayed the same.
I see.
Yeah.
And then we filed last Thursday. So I was explaining to him too. You know, and you can see on the prints too and the stuff that we have. It's kind of a weird pie-shaped property, so the only way we could put it is the way we're asking to put it. So we're not encroaching any further on neighbor's property or you know, being our 10-foot above the property line sort of thing. So we're just kind of back into right where we're at.
There does appear to be an area before you get to the house coming off the road that would be buildable. Accommodate that addition. Now, I don't know, I see the septic system is in there. I don't know if that's in the way or not. I can see what can you explain the septic system, how that works?
The septic system is an existing system that was there when we bought it. It used to be a resort that was there, and there are 1, 2, 3 properties that we all have our own septic system. But we also share the same drain field on another property behind us.
Is it clustered?
It is
So only one of those tanks is used now?
No, we each have our own tanks, and I added an additional tank to the one we had.
Oh, you're still sharing with the other property owners?
Just the drain field, yeah. So each property has tanks, and they're represented on the certificate of survey. You can see the tanks there.
But there are like four different, I can't see the tanks on.
So the tanks would be...
Sorry. We'll get there.
Back here.
Can you point them out? I can't read it on this. I can't read it up here.
This was the new tank, and this is the old tank that's got the what do you call it? That has the pump in it.
Yep.
So there's still this space outside of those tanks to build. Would be,
from my understanding, it'd be 20 feet off that, and then this is also a building setback.
From 10 feet from the lot line, yeah.
Yep. And then there'd be 10 feet off of the property line, too. There just wasn't enough area.
Looks like a pretty good size.
And we were trying to do an addition, not a second building, if that makes sense.
But I think you could still build the same size structure. It'd just be...
I don't think we could. Having Bob out there, too, has asked, and we were talking about that as well. He agreed that I couldn't build back here. I'd have to build up where it was.
Well, I think if you took your dotted line and just moved it into that front of the lot, that it would still fit. Unless I'm missing something.
I don't think it would fit.
Well, if you take on your survey drawing, if you would take this dotted area and just move it in front of the cabin, if in front being towards the road, I think it would still fit in there. Did you consider that?
From the measurements that I took, I don't think we could, and block our entryway into the cabin.
Well, I'm looking at the survey, not relying on measurements that you took. I'm looking at the actual drawing here.
Yeah.
And if you were to take that dotted area, which is the addition you're asking for, it appears to me that you could put that another in front of the building. You could probably use the same basic plan because it's a garage with bedrooms above it. So if you would move that in front of the present building, it looks to me like there's room to do that. You didn't consider that when you were...
Like I said, when I measured it out and I was looking for another way to do it, it just wouldn't work.
Well, your measurements, I'm looking at the survey drawing, not your measurements, so.
So if I could, so it has to be this side of this 10-foot.
Yep.
And so is it constrained here that, because this has to be 20 feet.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know what the measurements turn out to be.
Yeah, it's tight, but I think it's, I'm just saying that, and I don't know if that...
Like I said, I don't think it would fit. We could try to have someone come on, actually...
You have to...
We had to have the survey done twice, no.
20 feet from the tanks, Beth?
Dwelling needs to be, I'd have to look that up just to make sure. But I'm just... it would need to...
10 feet from the lot line.
Yeah, so the tanks to the dwelling unit has to be 10 feet.
Okay.
10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like there's room.
Pardon me?
It doesn't look like there's room, Don. I mean, if you move this their addition back, then you're infringing on the 10-foot lot line.
Well, I don't know. I can't see exactly where this tank is.
What is the space between the new addition and the existing house? What is that?
That's where they're going to connect the new addition. I think it's a breezeway entryway, correct?
Is that new?
Is that a breezeway?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is that, 10 feet or? I can't read that. 10 feet here.
It's a...
Well, I've just drawn it in here, and it looks to me like it's about the same.
And here it is here.
I think it's about 7 feet. Is that what your breezeway is?
Yes.
7 feet? Gary? It's 7 feet.
It was going to be 11, and then we found out.
You got to turn. It would have to be, if it's going to stay, is that the garage going to work?
Condensed it as small as you could.
It would have to be kind of like this.
Yes, you could do that.
So it kind of hits the property. That's where. And isn't the septic tank in there somewhere?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only question then is the...
The setback on the septic.
Yep, if you set back from the septic, then it's doable. And I don't see a dimension in there, so...
Yeah, it's not all that clear.
Well, I know that is.
That's fine.
You've got a larger survey design?
I think it's probably the same size, I guess.
It's smaller. It's smaller.
It's not so hard to see.
I can't really see that.
Well, if it did fit, would that be a consideration?
It'd be a consideration. It wouldn't be optimal for what I want, but...
Look at all the driveway you saved.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean, you don't have much of it right away. And with his garage, too, he put in doors back here so we could drive straight through, which is fine.
He drives on your property.
Yeah. That's not his issue. But that's where I was trying to go, that you still come into the driveway and still see a front door, and enters into the cabin. That's why I wanted to do an addition rather than have a separate building somewhere else. The old cabin used to be back here. They can still see the footings on.
And what is this line indicating here, Don?
This is the back setbacks, building setbacks.
This is the setback from the driveway.
You can see that here.
I can't read the dimension.
I can't either.
Sorry.
So the this hits so the corners.
It has to.
If you don't have that 6 or 8 feet or 7 feet in there.
This is.
And this is one tank. Here's the other tank.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it looks like there's a tank here, right?
Yeah, correct. That's the new tank, the double.
What is a setback? From a building on the septic, 25 feet or something?
So the tanks have to be 10 feet from a dwelling, and the drain field has to be 20 feet from a dwelling.
Yeah.
But it's just the tanks down there.
If this is the tank, where's that scale?
I'm sorry.
What are we
this little one lid, and that's another lid, and that's one lid, and another lid.
So there's one here.
Correct.
That's the worst one.
Yeah.
And this is 10 feet, which is really that much, so you would have to be in it.
Well, no, 10 feet.
Oh, my God.
And then your pigeon toe being back this side.
Yep. Oh, I'm doing it back.
I'm not able to get the pipe off.
That doesn't look like it's much smaller than what you're proposing, I guess. That's all I'm saying. I can certainly see that from your position, it was nicer to have it looking out at the lake rather than on the front side. There's no question about that.
And the lake was on that, so it's not like I'm putting it there for the view.
Well, you've got a beautiful view from just about any place there, actually. The creek isn't bad looking.
No, I love the creek, and that's the other part. We have two windows here, too, that put in this here. It makes those windows useless looking out that way.
So you lose some of your view.
Yeah, there's some give or
take. Well, that's just my observation.
It's, discussion among us, it
seems like 53 feet, especially if the setback's 100, it seems a little close. Would be something else to step back to 75 as a compromise.
Right.
And it might be hard to go through the questions and say that this wasn't the, a couple of them might say no.
Well, we're going to have to probably get to the no's, right?
Well, we'll need to go through the questions, and we'll need to establish that practical hardship.
Yep.
Or practical difficulty, sorry.
That's all I have, so...
Do you want to go ahead and start those questions?
I think we should.
Okay, yeah. I will let you just read through number 1 through 5.
There's also an increase in impervious surface from 17% to 22%.
Mm-hmm.
So is that...
That would...
I don't know
require,
that I had...
That would require this, the stormwater management plan.
Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't seen that we've had a... we've approved. We've always been kind of fussy. Remember we had that one over on North Lane or what it was, and we got so fussy about the impervious surface, and he had bricks in the driveway, and you know they had to make a bunch of changes. So I don't know. Gary, can you remember going back over the years of how strict is the city on increasing impervious surface for the construction?
You know, I did do one project in the cities where that was in this city that was a very big. We figured it right to within, I think, 4 square feet. And that was when Justin was here, and I mean, I worked hard to get it, to keep it within that, that permitted, you know. And I was dealing with some very tight constraints there, and I really did my dangdest to keep it all to where, you know, we tried to keep it as good as possible for everyone, you know. I gave up some things and just to make things work, you know.
And state requirement in shoreland is not to exceed 25%. That's the state requirement.
And we're not calling the driveway impervious?
Yep.
If the driveway was counted as impervious, that would be what I would have gone off of what the surveyor would have prepared for.
It's gravel, so that'd be 50%, I think.
Then actually their impervious percentage would go down.
Right, because it's not a...
Yeah, 50 Lakes ordinance allows for only 50% impervious
right.
with gravel, which is...
Right, so we're dead.
I mean, certainly it's not paved and there's not rock on it, it's gravel.
So yeah. Can you tell from the surveyor's calculation how he figured the driveway?
It says driveway proposed would be 1,632 square feet. So at 50%, you could bring that down to 800.
It would be fine, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If he's calculating it at 50% instead of 100.
Yep. I can go ahead and make that change to the findings.
We've had that discussion on some other requests. I recall.
So under your findings of fact, you would increase.
Yep, I would need to make a variant correction to that impervious calculation. Yeah, we went off the surveyor, so.
10% off of 22%, right? So then you'd be under the 17%.
No, because it's currently, it wouldn't be under 17. It would just be reduced from that 22. It would probably be closer to 20%.
Okay. The 22 is just the driveway.
And I can calculate that in the findings. I'll do that calculation in that.
Makes sense.
But that requires a calculator. I don't do public math.
Okay.
All right, so number 4, we're just going to go ahead and change that right now. The variance request includes an impervious surface coverage increase from 17.4 to approximately 20%. I will get the actual number and get that corrected in the findings. Number five, the proposed project does include an increase in bedrooms. Verification of SSTS will be required. That's required by the state. So the subject property contains a limited building envelope. The DNR has been notified of the request. Number eight, will granting the variance put the property to use in a reasonable manner, not permitted by the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Can we back down to five?
Yeah.
If they're increasing the bedrooms mm-hmm. and they've got to possibly increase the drain field, I would assume?
That's on a totally different parcel, and they'll have to do that. That's part of state rule 7080, and so that will all be required
so
as part of the permitting.
So verification of the SSTS will mm-hmm. be required. What will they be verifying?
They'll be verifying the size of the drain field, the amount of bedrooms on all of the other homes that is serviced by that, and then the increase in bedrooms. Now, you've stated before that that's a fairly large drain field because it was for a full resort. Yep.
Martin Joyce was out the first time when we built everything, and I had him look it over as well, and we were explaining how the setup is for each of the cabins that share the same drain field. And he was saying that he had inspected that before, and it had been built originally for 15 cabins.
Oh.
Not necessarily how many bedrooms, but
right.
That was his statement.
Yep.
So if that's Martin's, so I would...
Chances are it's good.
I would follow Martin's consideration there. But
well, originally we were going to try to get our own drain field on our property just in case, because we're grandfathered in the way it is now.
Yep.
But in case that were to fail, being it on somebody else's property, we were worried that that would be a problem. So we wanted to have our own on our property, but it just wasn't big enough to put that there.
And see, we have another variance where we're asking for, we've approved an addition, and I don't know how many bedrooms there were, but Beth and I talked about this earlier, and somehow in that approval, they just stated that the septic system should also conform. And that's fine, except now these people have to come in for a second variance, which is costing them money, if nothing else, to get the system checked out. Now,
right. And that's what Martin said too, that in order for us to get our system checked for the sector building, that you'd also have to inspect all neighbors that share that drain field.
If yours conforms, there's no problem at all, but if it happened to fall short, you'd have to come back and get another...
Nope, they don't need a variance for that. So their tanks meet, the drain field's on a separate piece of property that meets everything, and then that's fine. So if it's found that, let's say that it doesn't meet and they have to enlarge it, they have to add to the drain field or whatnot, they'll just come in for a septic permit. That will just be governed basically by the NPCA and the rules around the septic.
So yeah. That's not real expensive then.
Oh, well, I can't guarantee that. Everything with septic is expensive.
I hate to see people doubling up, you know. Maybe
yeah.
They're asking to go back and check something. And
well, what they need is they need a compliance inspection. That's a requirement for an application. So they need to do that regardless. They also need to make sure that it's sized appropriately.
So it's already been inspected and approved by Martin Joyce. Is it acceptable?
In the past. It's not a valid inspection, so we need a recent one. Okay. So they're going to incur the cost of that septic compliance inspection regardless. We're also going to use that time to make sure that they it's sized appropriately. And once again, if you call Martin Joyce and he says it's sized perfectly, we're good to go.
Is there any way in the future that we could combine this requirement in the actual permit so that they're, you know...
It is.
He's okay here. But I'm just talking about in general. If he didn't conform and an inspection was made and he had to come in and get another permit, that's another cost for him. Why couldn't that be in his original app? Not necessarily his. He's good. If we get another one like the one that's coming up because somebody missed the fact that the septic system didn't conform, these people had to pay for another variance and pay more money. That doesn't seem fair to me.
And it's not. And it's an unfortunate situation, which we'll talk about with the next application.
Okay, right.
But in this instance, I can't write a permit unless we have a valid compliance inspection. And that goes for any permit. I can't write a shoreline alteration permit. I can't write a land use permit.
He could have made this inspection prior and submitted it.
He didn't already do an inspection. This was a long time ago, so it's already not valid. I need a new one. I need one recent within the last 3 years. That's what we need on file.
he could do that prior to the application for the addition.
Yes. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. In the future, it would be nice to have that done. So it was neat, and if they knew they had to spend more money.
Yep, and I think we talked about that. We talked about the fact that, you know, as moving forward, when I go to write a permit, if, you know, this gets approved and we move forward and I'm writing the permit, that would just be part of the normal permit process. We just put it in here so that it's noted. We have a record of it, and it stays with there.
I'm talking again about future that we wouldn't be doing this, so, okay.
Okay. All right, going to number 8. Will granting the variance put the property to use in a reasonable manner not permitted by the zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And the applicant is proposing to use the use of the property as a single family residential dwelling. Does that meet?
Yes.
What's written there? Okay. Number 9, does the property have unique circumstances that were not created by the landowner? Yes, the property was thought to be legally developed with a 75-foot OHW setback. The certificate of survey that was submitted with the prior land use permit application showed setbacks of 75 feet from the tributary stream. In good faith, the applicant and the city both thought the setbacks had been met. Setbacks for tributary streams are 100 feet, making the existing structure nonconformity. And then additionally, the placement of the septic tanks in the dwelling have limited the available area for an addition.
I don't mean to interrupt again, but... to Mike's point, do we have to have two separate votes on this?
You can. Yep. We can go through these questions, and then you can do two separate motions if you want.
If we can include that in this motion, that would be good.
You can do both of them together, or you can do them separate.
Well, then let's do them together. So we just add that one.
Add which one?
What did you ask, Mike?
Well, the one was to get the existing dwelling into compliance.
Yep.
And the second one is the new addition.
Correct.
So two different variances.
Yep. Two separate requests tonight.
Okay. We combine those somehow.
Absolutely.
Into one
motion. You can go through all of these in the same. You can do them all the thing. You can also separate them. That's totally up to you.
Well, do we have to do anything or just how?
Right now, we're just establishing a practical difficulty. You can talk about each one of these questions. We're just establishing for the record that these conditions have been met. You can disagree, you can agree. We're just going through them right now. The motion that we'll do will reference these questions and the answers that you're establishing right now.
But also to Mike's point, that'll be covered too, is what I'm saying.
Correct.
We're not gonna go have a completely separate vote.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So 9?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Number 10. If the variance is granted, will the essential character of the locality remain consistent? Yes, constructing the addition will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The improvement will be visible from the lake. However, the proposed addition is in keeping with the general character and use.
Yes.
Yes.
Number 11, will the variance, if granted, be consistent with the comprehensive plan and be in harmony with the purpose and intent of the City of 50 Lakes ordinances? Yes, the request with conditions is consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance and the following goal in the comprehensive plan that states to preserve the natural character and environmental quality of the lakeshore and still allow reasonable use for property owners and public.
Yes.
I'd say no, because in my mind there still is space for good structure.
Potentially.
Yeah, well, it has to be redesigned. And, you know, you've got the issue with the septic tank, with how that setback is. But I can't say yes to this. I have to say no.
I'm going to say no also.
Two yeses and two no's.
No, I haven't been voted yet.
Oh, okay. You haven't voted.
I'm sure we know what we're doing here. Can we still ask a question?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, if we vote no, it doesn't get passed.
Correct.
So, is a redesign even feasible in your opinions? Maybe it's not your opinion, but...
I would say no.
So does that go back to the question when they bought, how long have you owned this property?
20 years.
20 years, and they're just now figuring out that it's, their existing is in the wrong spot.
Well, they built that home in 2018.
Oh, correct. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And that's when nobody recognized that it was 25 feet.
I was going based on the survey I had paid for.
And the city went off that as well. Yeah, and that's...
But it seems like of the two things that need either to be approved or not, you know, that seems pretty straightforward to me. I mean, they built with the assumption that it was within mm-hmm. the setback.
Yep.
I think the bigger question is, are we comfortable having this addition go to 53 feet within the creek when it's a 100-foot setback? I mean,
how many feet?
That's close, especially if there's a way to fit it in. I mean, then we'd probably still need a setback variance approval because it wouldn't be 100 feet. It would be something like 75 feet.
Yeah. You might need a side yard setback variance as well in that instance.
The 75-foot setback, if you look at that survey, you'll also see that it goes along with the creek, which shortens that as you move that structure back. And then, again, the difficulty is a 10-foot easement off the property line, and the creek is up there, so the 75-foot setback is here. No, I'm sorry, that's 100, but 75 is there. So by bringing it back here, you'd still be encroaching there, so it couldn't fit there. Is my point.
And you considered turning it?
Yeah, I did. That was my original thought, but I figured if I could turn it and still have an area of at least 6 feet to walk and make a front door entryway and pivot it back this way, then this corner obviously moves up even further.
To the creek.
And then again, it just runs out of room with as you turn it. This way, this space becomes smaller as you turn to come over to this 10-foot easement. Am I making sense?
So I guess I'd like to ask you, the builders put this design together for you. Have you involved
architect
to look at the whole situation?
Yep. I already had prints made when I thought I could tilt it a little bit more, so that it'd come back a little bit more. My calculations were off when I had the new survey done. So I had to put it back the other way. And that was the only space I could fit it in.
It seems to me that architects, they're valuable because they help solve problems like this.
Sure. Well, and again, it was a survey that made it all come together, the newer survey, where you can actually see where the new building is and where the proposed building would go versus the setbacks and the 75-100. And as he pointed out too, as the creek comes around this way, you can see how it just shortens that area of setback, and including the cabin that's off to the right isn't needing that 75-foot setback or 100-foot setback either. But again, that was something that was built a long time ago, which is the point he needed. It's got a nice lot.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful
view. I like your patio.
So we're back to 11, I guess, I'm a no. So.
It seems to me, I'll just say it again, architects are worth their weight in gold to help solve these kind of problems. So, I'd like you to come back here. Is there a way to
you can table.
Curb the variance cost. I mean, they shouldn't have to pay again to bring it
back. If you table it, they won't have to do anything, and they'll just give us more information, and then we'll just see them at next month's meeting.
Right. Is that something you're open to?
What more information would you like?
Pardon me?
What more information would you like? I guess
you got to move the building. It's just simply too close.
Okay. Well,
you got to come up with the smaller or
talk to us?
I can certainly ask.
I'll just make a comment. I mean, you've owned this property for 20 years, and you know how incredible it is being on the lake and on that creek. That creek is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so these ordinances are put in place to have some level of protection.
Understood.
And, you know, I'll just say that we try to be reasonable about where other cabins are located, and are we requiring it to be another 50 feet behind what everybody else is? I mean,
yeah.
We discuss all those things.
Yeah.
But this just seems like it's encroaching closer than anybody would want.
So if we table it, do you want to consider talking to the architect one more time, and then just let Bethany know? Is that the process?
I could certainly think about that too. But I'm really not in the idea of putting some kind of structure behind the cabin, because it couldn't be attached to the cabin any other way. And that's what I was hoping for, was the attachment, the breezeway.
Well, can't you butt right up to it?
You can.
Change your entrance?
Well, I can't change the entrance. There's two bedrooms in the back. There's a master bedroom on the back right and a spare bedroom on the left, with a master bath in between the two. So putting an entrance on the back of the cabin wouldn't work. Just by the way the layout is.
So,
but I can certainly have a conversation with my architect and see what else he could suggest based on what's there.
Do you need a motion to table it?
Yep, you would need a motion to table, and we would need to, and then we would just state when it would reappear. We have to set the date, and that date is at the October Planning Commission meeting.
Whenever
they get completed. That quick mm-hmm. has to be resolved?
No.
Quick question.
But we could ask them if they could.
Sorry.
Yep.
So if the architect comes up with something that he cannot fit in there, does that mean that it's done then? That this is a no? That it can't go where I'm supposed to put it?
We would just rediscuss that at the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. And they would just get that extra information of, are there any other possible places, you know, and if you could get that information, then we would just all sit together and revisit the subject again.
Okay.
So we need a motion to table it.
I'll make a motion that we table this
variance application 1625.
Yeah, please.
Okay, and do you want to put a time frame on that of until they provide information and then the next available meeting?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
That seems awfully quick.
Yeah. Well, once they get the information, it will be the next available meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, does that work?
I mean, we can't say next 30 days.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
We look forward to you coming back here with a good answer that works for.
Yeah, we'd like to see you do it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm retiring in January, so I was hoping to not only play a big part in building this thing, but also the possibility of moving up here at some point, too, full-time. So without having a garage attachment with some extra room,
hopefully we can make it all work in every book you
kind of
style. All right. I will reach out to you early next week with our next steps, okay?
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Another question for you, Beth.
Yes.
If you were four people, if we had a tie, do you then vote?
I do not vote, no.
What do we do?
Gary does.
I think Gary.
Gary would vote?
I don't know how that would go.
Yeah, I've never had that come up before. I'm just curious. I'm not, again, looking in the future.
Yeah. We'll get to the but. We'll,
I think Gary then would make the final decision. Gary Foster.
Right, or somebody abstains.
No, but we were tied.
Yeah, well, if you have it for council, the mayor would make the decision. If it was tied, it would be the mayor's choice.
What about the liaison from the council?
He'd make it here and this or go to council.
Well, look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into that. We'll get you a good answer on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Does it have to be a unanimous vote? Or does it have to be a unanimous vote?
With the variance, if they answer no to any of those practical, difficult questions, the automatic answer for a variance is no.
Yeah.
So they have to, I mean, and that's state statute. That is dead statute. And so those are those questions that are literally listed out in state statute. And so the fact that it's been tabled basically just hits pause, so they haven't gotten a no. Does that make sense? So your application still holds. There will be a letter I will be sending you. It'll explain everything. So, yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll do our best to work with you.
All right, yep. The next one is variance application 1725 for the replacement and expansion of an existing SSTS within the block setback. The subject property is located at 16886 North Eagle Lake Road, PID 22240595. The applicant and owner is Peter and Laura Sandahl. They are not here this evening. But this is that unfortunate situation that you brought up, Don, so I'll do my best to explain what happened here. The applicant is requesting a variance to replace and expand an existing subsurface sewage treatment system 10 feet from the top of the bluff, where 30 feet is required. So they don't meet that bluff setback, but they are not proposing to place the system in the bluff at all. The current gravelless system has tanks that are located within the bluff and a drained field that goes right up to the top of the bluff, so it's fully in the bluff setback. A variance for an addition to the existing dwelling was approved in 2024. The existing system does not meet the required sizing for the increase in bedrooms. This proposed system is being placed in a more conforming location, will be replacing an existing gravelless system. Gravelless systems are known to fail, and then will be correctly sized for the increase in bedrooms. So if you can see in your packet tonight, there are tanks that will be pumped, crushed, and filled. Those will be abandoned, so they won't disturb the bluff. They'll just fill that and take care of that there. Then the old drain field, which butts right up to the top of that bluff, will be abandoned. The new drain field is going to the north of that lot, and the tanks are actually in a conforming location. And it puts everything in a much better spot, but yes, this is an unfortunate thing. Probably should have been addressed when they came in last year in 2024. However, it was not addressed.
Okay.
So they're back, and unfortunately.
So we have the questions here. Kelly went through 14.
Is there a way for us to waive the variance fee on this one?
They've already paid it.
Well, regardless.
The city council would have to approve that refund. That would have to go to city council. You could make a recommendation to city council, but city council is the only one that can do that.
Okay. So if we choose to do that, we should do that when we do our motion?
That can be a separate issue. Yep, that doesn't have to be part of the variance application.
You already said that it should have been included with the initial variance.
Yep, I mean, they had a compliance done at that time. It passed the compliance inspection, but compliance inspection is completely different versus the size of the system for the building that's being built. And so if there's ever an increase in bedrooms, the septic system always needs to be verified that it will meet the sizing requirement.
Understood. Mm-hmm. But we're saying that we should have folded both of these variances together in one, so then let's waive the second variance fee.
So make a motion and we'll take that.
Yep, but we should do that under new business, and we should not do that right now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So do you have any questions about the system or their request? Or do you want me just to go ahead and go through, and I'll just go through the questions?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So will granting the variance put the property to use in a reasonable manner not permitted by the zoning ordinance? Yes, the applicant is proposing to continue the use of the property as a single-family residential dwelling, and the proposed SSTS is being placed in a more conforming location. We'll be replacing an existing gravelless system and will be correctly sized for the increase in bedrooms that was approved by variance.
Yes.
Yes.
Number 11, does the property have unique circumstances that were not created by the landowner? Yes, the property was legally developed and the existing septic system was placed in the bluff prior to current bluff and ordinance requirements.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If the variance is granted, will the essential character of the locality remain consistent? Yes, replacing the SSTS will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The improvement will ensure that water quality and public health are being protected in compliance with Minnesota Rule 7080.
Yes.
Yes.
Will the variance, if granted, be consistent with the comprehensive plan and be in harmony with the purpose and intent of the City of 50 Lakes ordinances? Yes, the request with conditions is consistent with the purpose and intent of the zoning ordinance and the following goal of the comprehensive plan: to preserve the natural character and environmental quality of the lakeshore and still allow reasonable use for property owners and the public.
Yes.
Yes.
And is the variance request being made for reasons other than economic considerations alone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I recommend approval of variance 17-F.
Yeah, we need a motion.
Yep, that's what he's doing.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good. I recommend approval of variance 1725 with 14 staff findings and one condition.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, now if we could close the public hearing. Gary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any open forum, any questions? The approval of the July 22nd minutes. I get a motion for that.
I make a motion that we approve July 22nd Planning Commission minutes.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
New business? Meets and bounds for Shimon to read those?
Yep, I can read it. You can read it, whatever.
All right, so, okay. So the meets and bounds for lot 1825. To split an 8.69 acre parcel within the Shoreland Residential Land Use District. Subject property is located at 42305 Cato Road. Property ID number is 22150522. And the property owners are Scott and Julie Smith. Put both at once?
Nope, we'll just do one at a time. Right. Yep. That's the end of that packet. I forgot. Our packet was so big tonight, we had to send it in two parts. All right, so the applicant for the meets and bounds 1825 is requesting to subdivide this parcel into three tracts: parcel A, parcel B, and parcel C. I'll go ahead and I will read exactly what each parcel is. Parcel A is a 159,396 square foot parcel, has 500 feet of frontage along Kegel Lake Road, which is a public road. The proposed parcel is 425 feet wide and contains 79,600 square feet of buildable area. Yes?
And here's a place, can you just go to the stats findings?
That's what I'm doing, that's what I'm reading. Number 5 on page 81.
Okay.
Yep.
You're
there's
right.
Yep, there's an existing dwelling, an SSTS, and a well. That parcel meets ordinance requirements. Parcel B, the proposed vacant parcel, is 106,886 square feet, has approximately 500 feet of frontage along Kegel Lake Road, which is a public road, and the proposed parcel is 300 feet wide. It contains plenty of buildable area and is adequately sized for a subsurface sewage treatment system and well. We did receive also septic suitabilities for this as required. That meets parcel C. The proposed vacant parcel is 1,600. 910 square feet and has approximately 280 feet of frontage along Kegel Lake Road. That's also a public road. It is 280 feet wide. It contains 87,563 square feet of buildable area. It is adequately sized for septic and well. I have one staff recommendation for a condition. We did not get a current compliance inspection on the SSTS that is on the developed parcel. So that will be required prior to the city stamping any approval on this.
So this is, we don't have to go through the questions like we do.
Nope, not at all. So yep, so there's no public hearing requirement for this. All of these meet requirements. It just requires your approval.
So we need a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve. Meets and bounds split 18-25. With the one staff recommendation and the five findings of fact. I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You guys have been so patient. Thank you.
Great. Meets and bounds, lot split 19-25, the split of 19.86 acre parcel within the agricultural land use district. Subject property is located at 17198 Puhai Road. The ID number is 22360527. And the applicant property owners is Randy and Audrey Puhai.
Thank you so much. Once again, I'm just going to go right to the staff findings on this. We did verify that this meets. The DNR was notified on this one as well as the other one because the very tiny corner is located in Chardonnay. So we did all that. It's page 100. So number five of the staff findings, parcel A, the proposed developed 5-acre parcel will have the required 33 feet driveway easement off of Buhait Road to accommodate the existing driveway and meets minimum lot requirements for a parcel in the agricultural zoning district. It contains a non-conforming subsurface sewage treatment system, and that will need to be upgraded within 10 months, and a private well. I also included an updated certificate of survey. In your packet, it shows a 20-foot driveway easement. This is the updated survey that does show that required 33-foot driveway easement. Parcel B, the proposed vacant 14.87-acre parcel, meets minimum lot size width and area requirements for a parcel in the agricultural zoning district, has over 600 feet of frontage on a public road, is adequately sized for a subsurface sewage treatment system and a private well. There were two staff recommendations that the legal easement certificate of surveys to be updated prior to the final approval. We did receive that. The only other requirement that we did not receive was a wetland delineation or no wetland letter. There aren't any wetlands on this property, so they'll just need to have that no wetland letter. Mm-hmm. And that can be taken care of prior to the city stamping the approval.
So we need a motion to approve 19-25.
I'll make a motion that we approve the meets and bounds lot split 19-25. That include the five staff findings.
And two conditions. And two conditions?
And two conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Moving on to old business.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, just I'll be in contact with you early next week. It would have been this week, but I'm in a conference all this week, so I will reach out next Monday.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. See you guys later. Yep. We got old business, which is done.
None.
No. Where do we have number?
Yes, if you wanted to waive that fee. It has already been paid, but if you wanted to refund, that's something that I'll need to take to council.
So do we make a motion to do that?
You would have to have a motion to recommend to city council that city council refunds the applicant that fee.
So I'll make that motion, but now I need to get back to the list that we're talking about.
17.
You can just say for Peter and Laura Sandell. This doesn't have to reference them.
We waive this variance relative to the SSTS for Peter and Laura Sandell because it could have been part of the initial variance.
Correct. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
I need a second.
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
That's variance 1720.
Thank you. I straightened it off. Gary?
I really have not much to say, but I would like to make a couple comments, if I may. It doesn't have anything to do with my liaison. It's about the way this meeting went tonight. I'm very happy the way it went tonight, the way you guys tabled this. I was quite disappointed at the last variance meeting. I don't think it's our job to make things fit for people. I think it's up to them to make them fit. And if they don't fit, it's not us to make changes. That one last month really has bothered me. We could have taken a non-conforming building and made it for the most part conforming, but we kept it in the bluff. People can move additions, and if they're unwilling, we should be also unwilling. And if there are trees in the way, I love trees, but what we've done, what we did at that one, and this one could have gone that way also, is we're creating more non-conforming properties here, and that's not what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to get that off my chest, because last month, or the month before, rather, I was very, I didn't think that was right. Don and Bob actually had a good lead on that.
I agree, and there's one other comment I could have made, and I don't know if it would sway people, but if we had just assumed that that lot didn't have anything on it, that it was perfectly bare lot, would you approve building a structure on the bluff? And I'm not asking because you guys already voted, but
no,
I should have asked that question. I think that would have clarified it, maybe a little bit.
Well, and I've sat on the other side of this board as a professional general contractor. And I have always tried to do my best. I had a place that I could have just, much like the one 2 months ago, mm-hmm. I could have rebuilt it non-conforming. But I thought it was in Cass County, and I spoke with the gentleman up there, and I said, I want to bring this into so it's conforming, but they want to tear this down. It's a guest cabin, but they want another guest cabin, and we want it. I can keep that 1,000-foot guest cabin right on the line and rebuild it. I have every right to. But what I want to do is build a new guest cabin over and make it conforming, other than I want, I think it was 750 square feet they would allow for a guest cabin. I think I wanted 850. I said, let's make this non-conforming structure more conforming. I pulled it off the lines. I met all the great setbacks. They gave me 100 feet, and I made it conforming for them. And I think that, again, I go back to the one 2 months ago. There was so much that could have been done there. And just because they don't want to do this, like this guy, he doesn't want to move it to the back of his...
Right.
But let's make it fit. Let's make it right. Let's not create more problems than what we solve here, you know. So I don't feel that making encouraging nonconformity is a good idea. And that's all I have to say. And I don't mean anything bad by it, you know. And if I spoke out of line, Bethany, please let me know if I'm
not a bit.
Going
we're
against
here to
it.
Have those conversations, so this is the room we're all supposed to be in. So
right, right.
I read something that's it's along the same topic, and it struck a chord with me, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of this before. But with all this political discourse that's going on now, the thing that we have to remember is there is really no such thing as right or wrong, or black or white. What we have to do in democracy as we have is to compromise. And that means we have to sit down with our two black and white situations and come up with an answer. And As simple as that. And I think we're dividing our whole society into either black or white or right or wrong. And it's got to stop. We've got to start negotiating with each other.
Right. And
that just struck me in the head. That just makes common sense. I mean, wouldn't you do that anyhow? But, you know, we don't talk like that. And this guy just put it in a very simple paragraph.
Right. And, I mean, with this one tonight, he may not get the square footage that he wants, but there could be an addition there very easily. It may not be what you want, but it's what we all can agree on. It's not what he wants, not what we want. It's somewhere in the middle, and that's where I'm trying to... Like I say, that 1-2 months ago really kind of bothered me. This one went the right way. I'm glad you tabled it for later discussion. But like I say, we're not in the business to encourage nonconformity either. You know, we've got these rules are here to protect our lakes and our land, and that's our bread and butter. And we can't ignore those rules. Because somebody just, I want this and I don't want to cut down a tree and that's that. Well, then you're not going to get it. Sure. That's how I feel.
And these rules are laid out in state statute and DNR regulations. And we have to really try to understand those when we're having these discussions as to where those people are coming from and why these rules exist. Why are... Even our city ordinance, why, you know how many hours have been put into making that thing? And you know, we can change it, we can make variances, but it was established for a purpose to begin with, and it wasn't made to be changed by every meeting that you change something.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. You know, we could go ahead and let everybody build right on the shoreline.
Yeah.
But that goes against the grain of what we want here. And that's why we've developed these rules and try to keep it fair for everybody. Just because I want doesn't mean I should get.
Right.
I mean, I'll meet you halfway or whatever, but when we can't make nonconformities.
I think the conversation is great simply because I'm the newest. And I may have made that difference of that vote. I don't know that, right? But we don't have this open debate. We'll never get in the straighter direction that we want to go for a city.
So I think I'll tell you what, when I went out to the site of the one that we tabled, it became very clear to me. I mean, it's a beautiful location, and that creek is there, and this would just encroach on it. I mean, it was black and white for me, I thought.
Well,
so then all the other ones down the creek about the same.
Right now. Well, and that's it. We set a precedent, you know, and that's not a good way to go. And, you know, there's a mistake made there, but let's not keep making that same mistake. Let's stop and correct it as much as we can. We might not correct things 100%, but we can give it a little better, you know.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I had to say.
Do you have anything?
I have a few things. I will try to keep it as brief as possible. If you notice...
We've only taken an hour. I thought we'd be here till midnight.
No, we're
in my sleeping bag.
I've been in those meetings. If you notice, every planning commission meeting, I put in the year-to-date land use permits up there. I, for some reason, the Excel spreadsheet does not like to be printed. We really struggle. Both Jess and I have struggled trying to get these in this format. My question to you is the planning commission, how much information do you need about the permits? What information do you need about the permits? And I will create a document that will have the complete information that you need.
Well, what would you like to omit?
It's not about omitting anything, but do you need to know, I mean, do you want all of the columns that are presented here tonight? Because I can tell you that right now it cut off and would not print any permits past number 36. So
are you referring to page 116 or all of the
I am previous? 115 stops at number 3625. We're already on 4425. So it cuts that off. Do you like all of this?
No.
Okay.
Just the current ones, because you've already given us information. We don't need to have it.
But I like to know when, what things are happening when permits are applied for, but I don't need the one in January brought up every month.
Okay, and this is also a document that we keep updating because Jessica posts it on the website as well for the community, so everybody is able to look at that.
Yep,
but do you want all of that, like the date received, date approved, property address, last first zone, do you want all of those
You don't
cases?
Need a first name, do you?
No.
Okay.
You don't need a what?
First name?
First name, if you got the last name, that's more than enough. No.
Because what I'm proposing is I'm just going to create a separate document. It's not going to be in Excel, and I'm going to be able to quickly and easily print it off and give it to you and give it to Jessica. I'm trying to simplify that. If all of this information is still what you want, just say it, and I will make sure it's all on there.
You don't need to have two separate columns for names. You could just say the first name and the last name all in one space.
Yep, and I'll just reformat it. It'll be very simple. But I just want to know, do you want to know the PID? Do you need to know the zoning? Do you want to have a quick description of what it is?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
I agree.
Date received and date approved, do you want that? I'll keep track of that. I'm still going to keep this spreadsheet, but do you need that information presented monthly?
I don't really care when it's approved because I'm assuming it's approved or it wouldn't be here, is it?
Okay, that's sometimes correct. Sometimes this is just my running list and it's not approved yet, but we've received it.
Well, then see, just see. Can you say pending?
I certainly can, yep.
Without putting dates down for every other one that's on here?
Yep.
Or just the letter P, really.
Okay,
and
I can do that.
Just narrow that down and just have a footnote. P is for pending now.
Okay, perfect.
Very short clue sheets down on the way, yes.
Okay, that is good. Is there anything on here that you'd like to see that's not on here? If you think of anything, you don't have to answer now, but if you do think of something that you would like to have, just call me, and I'll make sure it gets on. Okay. The other thing I wanted to update you about is I got a call from John Gleason. I know that there has been some interesting conversation and debate about the driveway that he put in off of North Eagle Lake Road. He is paving that. He called before he paved it, or called before any of that. We did discuss it. There's no further requirement. He has a permit for the driveway. There's no further requirement to pave it. I did tell him that all the conditions that were on the original permit still hold. If any problems arise, such as runoff or anything else, that we will need to work together to mitigate that, he said, understood. But I think he's going to be paving it, so you might get phone calls from people, like, what is he doing, what is going on? He's paving the driveway, so which is an allowed use.
The big deal with that one was the runoff, so as you're looking up at it, it's on the right side that there was a place for the water to kind of deflect on its way down.
He said all the slopes, all the swales, everything will remain exactly the way they are. It will just be paved. I did say if that paving, though, does create any situation, we will revisit it. He will need to, I mean, we're going to need to go back to the drawing board then.
But he property?
Is able, no, that's a different one. We haven't heard from that, so I don't know what.
How about a speed bump at the bottom of the hill? I just thought of that. Does that make any sense? So that anybody that's, we're thinking more of people coming down, not the owner, but if somebody else comes over there and they want to come out onto the road, it's a line of sight that's terrible, right?
Yeah.
It is. He put a...
And if people require a speed bump at the bottom so somebody would have to stop and not just kind of slide out onto the road?
At this point, we can't. So he's already been issued the permit for the driveway. It was constructed. It was approved. Everything went through. He had it engineered. He's going to have it paved. That doesn't change the structure of it. Other than now it's bituminous instead of gravel. The impervious for the lot changes, but obviously that's a huge portion of land. He's fine with impervious.
Do you have a chance to ask him if he considers a speed bump just to keep, not him, I mean, he's going to always stop, but I can see a delivery man that's just, that's...
Well, was it you that I was talking to? So Chester made mention that they were trying to get some equipment up it, and it was so steep. So they were struggling just to do the... Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. I just want to let you know that there's nothing that required him to revisit his permit. There's nothing further to condition that the city can do at this point. However, because of the conditions of the original permit, should anything happen that's unfortunate, the city does have the authority to have him correct that.
Okay.
But if you have a chance to ask them if you might consider a speed bump, I'm not saying it's something we're going to require, but it just popped into my mind. I mean, the logical sense is the owner's going to probably stop, but you know.
So you're saying a speed bump on the driveway itself?
Right on the road. At the bottom of the driveway.
Right at the base of the driveway.
How would
that impact plowing and maintenance for the city?
No? Okay.
I think it would be very difficult. I mean, it's right now, I mean, you just said it has to be a smooth kind of ramp going up. And a speed bump there would cause traction problems in the winter. Mm-hmm. I think it would be...
If it got in the way of our city plow, too, we'd have to look at that.
And then if anything bad does happen, let's just say it doesn't, and everything's fine, and it's just going to get paved, and everything's going to be great. But if, I just wanted to let you know, if you get phone calls, that's what's happening. He has the right to do that. But if anything happens where there's a lot of runoff, he will have to come back in, he'll have to have it re-engineered, and he'll have to go through that process again, and he knows that. We did discuss that.
Well, it all slides down, we'll have a partially paved North Eagle Road there.
There we go. So
then I have a question on how are you going to deal with what if we end up with a tie vote? Who's the decision?
We're going to have to look into that. I don't know if that might have had to been tabled until Bob showed up, or I don't know if I can vote or not.
Chester, it goes to council.
Well, when we're at council, if they have a tie vote, you get to make the decision. So then in theory, I would assume that since Gary is the vice chair, he would make the final decision. But I don't know.
I think he could also excuse himself from voting.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say.
I think at that point, you as the chair would have to step back.
And not vote, except you have a final say over a tied vote. If you're part of the tied vote, does that make sense to have him step back and then?
No, but if that's what you have to do.
I think.
But I'm going to, that's a good question.
I'd like it to go to council. Let them make the.
I don't know if you can. This is a really good.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure how the council would work like that. If we had four on sitting.
I've been in planning commissions where the council liaison became a voting member.
Oh, in a at the deal time. Like this.
Yep.
Can we designate that position?
I would want to just get that advice from your city attorney. Make sure that we're doing
but
that.
But I have no problem with having a liaison decision if it's a split vote. That'd be a simple way to solve it right there.
Yeah.
The only thing, because you're typically not that engaged in any of our discussions, you would have to maybe then have a question and answer period. I would assume that's part of the deal.
Possibly, if you had any questions.
Right, and I mean, if we identify that and it comes to that point, then I would have been asking questions tonight.
Right.
Could have, potentially.
But you wouldn't know that till the vote came, so.
Yeah.
Right.
So if that's what would be the decision maker would be him, well then you see that there are only four of us, you would have to engage through the meeting.
Right.
A little bit more.
I think even if it came to be that was at the end, it's a split vote, then I think maybe if I could ask a couple questions, if I have them, then that would be.
Sure, or just review the findings again. That would really what we're
Right. Because when you guys do your findings, I have a definite opinion on all of them. So
do you have those?
Yeah. I keep them myself.
That's a good solution. That applies with everybody else.
You just have to ask someone
because the liaison is almost always we have a lead. Sometimes there isn't one, but usually there's somebody here.
Right.
That way it gets resolved right at that time.
Or if we are four, because we all miss occasionally for various reasons.
Yep.
Maybe the chairman or vice chair doesn't participate in any votes in the event of a.
I like it this way better.
Yeah, they have it too.
Well, and then there are some applications, and this might just be for council, I'm not sure. I'm looking through your ordinance really quickly, where a 4/5 vote is required. And if you don't have all the members, you can't vote on it. So there are certain situations with that.
What?
I think...
That's spelled out in the ordinance?
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at. Some ordinances do have that, but some don't.
I don't recall ever seeing that.
I'm not seeing it in here either, but...
I mean, that makes sense if that's what we want to do, but I don't think it's in the law.
No, I'm not seeing it in here. But we'll get to the bottom of this, and I will have an answer for you.
So...
on those interesting arrangements, should we be presented with that?
Well, thank you, Beth, for the excellent job you do in keeping us straight with all of these, you know.
It's fine.
It's too much, you know. I mean, we can make decisions, but it's the procedural part. You do such an excellent job of getting us.
Well, thank you. And, you know, Don called me this afternoon. We had an awesome talk about, like, what's in the plan, in the packet, maybe... things aren't needing to be in the packet. Maybe you want something in the packet. If any of you have any questions or any suggestions, you know, feel free to just stop by and chat with me. I'm all ears because I'm here to present you with the materials you need to make these decisions. So I'm not attached to it. However you guys need it is what I'm interested in. So,
okay. Yeah. So we need a motion to adjourn. Before we adjourn, mm-hmm. I'd like to add something. I talked to Bob about this. I made a decision not to continue after the existing term. So I asked Bob if I should discuss it here, and he said we should, just to give everybody a heads up. And the reason is that I'm going to be traveling more, and it's not going to do justice to the position. So,
aww.
Yeah.
I think the rule is you have to find a replacement.
You know, I have one lined up, and
usually your left or right neighbor right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so when does your term end then in December?
In December, right.
Okay.
So I've served at the end of that 4 terms, 8 years, and it's been a great experience. It's been wonderful. But, you know, it's just not right. If I'm going to be gone 3 or 4 months, it's not right.
I appreciate letting us know. I'm sad to hear that.
You'll
be missed.
I'm leaving too.
Fred.
I've done 10 years.
He took 10 years. So your term is up as well?
I don't know when my term is up.
It's up the December, the same time as Mike's.
Okay.
I'm still debating.
Okay.
Well, I think, I don't know how we've advertised, but sometimes we just haven't got applicants too. So it'll vary. All of a sudden you get 10 and the next time you don't have any, but we want to get as many applicants as we can. So I don't know how we've advertised in the past, but anyway, you can get the word out.
Or post that on the website or something?
Yeah. Probably post it or something.
Here,
how did you come about it? Just put it on from
neighbors?
Neighbors?
Left and right?
Yeah. Peer pressure?
Huh.
Well, no, that was interesting because you asked me why Bruce was leaving, and I couldn't really answer the question, but I did try to give you as much information as I could about the position. I mean, his personal reasons, I can't speak for him,
right?
But I think I know you do, and I encourage you to proceed to try to get more information. So, but I don't know if we can advertise anyway. Just the city website, nobody probably looks at it, but
well, I hope some people do.
I hope so.
Okay.
I think in the past we used to be
the Northern Press.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably go to Crosby.
Probably do Crosby website, Facebook, and word of mouth is very powerful.
If you're gonna do Cuyuna, they do Pequot too. I mean, that Cuyuna paper doesn't do the city justice in my mind.
Okay.
We get a little thing about the bar and what's going on in the bar sometimes on that bar page, and that's about it.
Okay.
And they've got all these photographs of all their parades and floats and barbecues they have and Did they have pictures of 50 Lakes Day? I don't even know if they did.
I think they did.
You know, I didn't even look. I'm not sure.
I don't like that paper. I miss the word compress.
If you don't mind me taking up a bit more of your time, I found an answer to our earlier question. Membership shall consist of not less than 5 members, nor more than 7 members. The city council shall appoint a non-voting liaison and may appoint an alternate to the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment. No member of the city council may be appointed as a voting member of the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment.
That just took me out of the running.
Oh. But it doesn't limit, it doesn't say we have to have for each vote. It just talks about the size. It doesn't say for each vote.
Correct. I don't see any of that. It does say in the event of the resignation of an officer, the city council shall fill the vacancy. And so probably at the next meeting, I will ask if you could motion to advertise. I think the sooner the better.
Absolutely.
I mean, because you're planning on carrying out your term till December, but
yeah,
I think
for
we
sure.
Should.
And okay. That's why I brought it up now. I thought, you know, now's the time to.
That way it gives us enough advance notice.
Right.
But we still have to clear at this point.
Yes, yeah. We do. And yeah. I will get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
I will.
Yep. And I'll make a motion to adjourn.
There we go.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you so much, Gary. You did a great job.
You're really-